song in our hearts, Lord God, and a song on our lips to lift you up, Lord God. I'm praying, Father God, that you will touch every person right now, Lord God. You know what they stand in need of, Lord God. You know their very hearts, Lord God. You know their innermost, Lord God. Oh, Father Jesus, move right now, Lord God. Father God, move on this praise team this morning, Lord God. Let them praise you, Lord God, with power from on high, Lord God. Oh, Father God, surrender a sacrifice of praise, Lord God. Oh, Father God, oh, use your manservant this morning, Lord God. Oh, touch Pastor Odie right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Give him the preaching power, Lord God. Oh, Father God, the wisdom, Lord God, that you've laid down from the foundations from the beginning of time, Lord Jesus. Speak to him and speak through him, Lord God. Oh, Father God, we stand ready. We stand ready to receive you, Lord God. We stand before you, Father God. Oh, Father Jesus, we thank you right now. We thank you, Jesus. There's something about the name Jesus. There's something about the name Jesus. If you just wrap your mind around it, there's something about the name Jesus that demons will have to flee. Oh, yes, that when you say Jesus, all the sickness and illness will have to go away. When there's something about the name Jesus, it says that the foundation of hell begin to shake. There's something about the name Jesus that heaven and the angels rejoice. There's something about the name Jesus that moves mountains. There's something about the name. Oh, we call on the name Jesus this morning. We call upon the name Jesus. Lord, we love you. We praise you, Lord God. We give you all the praise and the glory, Lord God. We stand as testimonies, as witnesses, oh, to your love and your grace. Oh, Father, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for you said that every tongue and every knee shall bow. Oh, Father, you are great and awesome. Lord, Father, have your way in this place. We love you, we praise you, and we glorify you right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's no godly sorrow. Godly sorrow says, God, I messed up, I blew it, I made the wrong decision, and I know your grace and mercy is available, and your blood is still able to cover my sin, and I'm sorry. I have godly sorrow. I want to change. I don't want this to happen in my life again. I want to go forward instead of going backward. Repentance is a change of direction, folks. Amen? The basic ideal is a reversal of thinking. Oh, you gotta get that. The basic idea of repentance is a reversal of thinking. Excuse me. Which changes our lives. We need to think different. Amen? Now, I want to tell you something. A true revival does not just happen. There are conditions that must reside in our hearts before the Lord will visit His people. Amen? How many believes that? Or, you know, it's us, get God, folks, God's always ready to come in revival. God's always ready to visit a people. But we have to have our hearts ready. Amen. We have to have our minds made up. We have to have a change of attitude. We have to change of our outlook and say, God, I want you more than I want anything else. I want you more than I want the food I eat. I want you more than I want the pleasures of this world. I want you more than any kind of any entertainment that I could ever enjoy. I want you. Amen. And when that happens, deliverance is going to come. And I'm going to say it again. We need deliverance, not just relief. I said we need deliverance, not just relief. Relief is only feel good for a moment. We need deliverance. Deliverance says that the person comes up changed. The person goes away different. Y'all have heard me tell the story about Dan Livingston when he was on the streets of New York and they're ministering to the street people. And he said it was obvious that there was a fellow that came up to him as they were praying for people. And he had offered Jesus to these people there on the streets of New York City. And he said there was a fellow came up to him at the end of the service. And he said, I want this Jesus that you're talking about. And he said it was obvious that this person was living in a homosexual lifestyle by the way he dressed and the way he conducted himself, and even his voice had that femininity about it and the way he spoke. But he said you could tell he was sincere and he was serious about what he was saying. And he said, "I want this Jesus." And they started, oh hallelujah, I'm talking about change, folks. They started praying the prayer of repentance with this man and leading him to Jesus Christ. And Dan Livingston said, right in the middle of his prayer, his voice started to change. And when he got to the end of his prayer, he then talked like a man. He sounded like a man. He spoke like a man. I'm telling you, I'm talking about change. We don't need just relief. We don't need something that just soothes people, makes them feel good. We want something that's going to change their lives. It's going to set them free from the power of drug addiction, from the power of alcoholism. A revival that changes not only the churches, but it changes the community, the leaders, the politicians, every person in this area. Ooh. We don't need relief. We need deliverance. When deliverance comes, relief will stay. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God's pattern for us as individuals. Now, how many believes that repentance was important for you when you accepted Christ as your Savior? God's pattern for us as individuals is also His pattern for the church. Come on. Even as the Lord did not deliver us until we cried for help, so the war for our churches and our communities and our cities will not be won until we're crying out to God in prayer. Folks just showing up to church won't get it done. Just praying in the sanctuary. Now, mind you, we need to pray here, and we are praying here more than we ever have. We may even pick it up a little more. Turn the heat up, right? That's the way you win this battle. Don't let up. Don't get relaxed. I'm just going to tell you, I got to be honest with you. I got to be your pastor. I got to be your shepherd. When you turn the heat up, the enemy's going to turn the heat up. I said, when we turn the heat up, the enemy's going to turn the heat up. He's going to say, well, I don't like what's going on there in that area. I don't like what's going on within those people. He'll turn the heat up. So we got to turn the heat up. Okay, this is a game you're going to play, but I'm going to tell you something. You know, you need to come packing. You need to come packing with heat. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. We have more heat than he does. Come on. There's a point to where we have to realize that we have more heat than he does. Because we have the power that defeated him. We have resurrection power. We have the power that kicked him out. And the same power, that power resides in us because the Holy Spirit tabernacles in here, folks. Ooh. We have more power. Jesus said, what? All power. Which is all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. He's got the devil on a short leash, folks. Amen. I'm just preaching it as the Lord gives it to me. God's pattern for us as individuals is also His pattern for the church. Even as the Lord did not deliver us until we cried for help, so the war for our churches and our cities will not be won until we are crying to God in prayer. Christ's purpose, oh, you got to hear this. Christ's purpose in bringing the church to prayer is to prepare our hearts for what He wants to do. Amen. Sometimes we point our fingers at the world and what's going on outside those walls. We need to point that finger back to us and say, God, check me. What am I doing to change anything? Is that all right? The Old Testament reveals God's pattern for deliverance and revival. In answer to the prayers and suffering of His people, the Lord raised up deliverers. Did He not? They were individuals who were anointed and empowered by God to defeat Israel's oppressors. Now, it's important to note that the effectiveness of these deliverers were never based on, you got to see this, it was never based upon their own worthiness or their credentials. Come on. You know, Wanda and I were watching Christian television this week, and You know, oftentimes people are so bad, if you see certain people and you think, well, they messed up, but, you know, it's when it comes back to that godly sorrow and repentance. I ask one, I said, I wonder what people would do if David showed up today on TBN. Ooh. Would they say, oh, there's David. He's the one that committed adultery and he's the one that had someone murdered. No, they'd call up their folks and they'd say, David, King David. Amen. Goes back to godly sorrow, repentance. And the point I'm trying to make here is it had nothing to do with their worthiness or credentials. You know, but they were sent by God. We have to believe that they were uniquely sent by God. But I want to tell you something. Their arrival, now don't miss this part. Their arrival was in Israel's, in Israel being in harmony with God and them crying out to God. Amen. Stay with me. Nehemiah speaks of this pattern of repentance preceding national deliverance. He prayed, therefore, thou didst deliver them into the hand of their oppressors who oppressed them. But when they cried, look what it says. But when they cried to thee in the time of their distress, you did hear from heaven. And according to thy great compassion, you gave them deliverers who delivered them from the hand of their oppressors. Why did God do it? Because he what? He heard their cry. Are y'all seeing this? That's in Nehemiah 9 and 27. You know, and Exodus chapter 3 says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their suffering, so I have come down to deliver them. Now, are y'all seeing the pattern here? It's when God's people start crying. It's when we got to cry out to God. You know, thank God for worship services. Thank God for anointed singing. Thank God for anointed musicians. But I'm going to tell you something. We have to get our eyes on where the power really comes from. And our power is going to come when we start crying out to God. And we say, God, I know, and we start proclaiming God's word. Start speaking his word. You know, it's not just crying out to him, but believe his word and speak his word. There's power in this thing. It's not just an ordinary book. There's power in this book. Hallelujah. Repentance is not about changing God. And Dwayne, you were all over my message when you opened up this morning. Repentance is not about you changing God, but God changing you. It's about a heart change. In Psalm 51, when David fell, we talked about David. But here's the key, folks. What did David say? David said, create. Everybody say create. And see, there's a power to create. God is able. He spoke things into existence. And that power, oh, hallelujah, that power rests in us. You know, Pastor Gully preached us, speak God. Amen. But David, in Psalm 51, he said, create in me a clean heart. Everybody say a clean heart. And renew a right spirit within me. Amen. And when that happens, when we allow God to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within, he said, then what's going to happen then, folks, is then I'm going to come to a place in my life where I can teach transgressors your way. It starts with us. It's a change of heart. Let me say, sometimes we need a right spirit renewed in us. We need a clean heart. Is this all right? Repent means to change one's thinking. It's clearly connected with changed behavior. Everybody's heard and read the scripture in Revelation chapter 2. Jacob, throw that one up there. It's a letter to the church of Ephesus. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, said, holds the seven stars around, who walks in the midst of the golden candlestick, an angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things. Go to the next verse, Jake, please. I know thy works and the labor and the patience and how they canst not bear them which are evil, which has tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I've got somewhat odd against you because you have left your first love. Now, what'd he say? Remember from where you have fallen and repent. Do your first works over. Amen. Or else I'm going to come and I'm going to quickly remove the candlestick out of his place except you repent. You know what that means? That means judgment's going to come quickly if you don't repent. Amen. It means judgment's going to come if you don't repent. Folks, you know, the Bible says that judgment begins in the house of God. Amen. It starts with the church. We can't hold the world accountable.